Step 5. Marketers with authenticity thrive. Changing the story requires personal interaction. You don't get to make up this story. The story happens with or without you. If you're not happy with the story, the only way to change it is with direct contact between your consumer and a person. That person might be the consumer's neighbor, or friend, or teacher, or boss, or it might be one of your employees. Personal interaction cuts through all the filters. Personal interaction is the way human beings actually make big decisions, by looking people in the eye, by experiencing them firsthand. That's why it was so hard for the dot-coms to build a loyal following. They couldn't afford to provide the interactions that are built into the retail experience. Personal interaction comes from allowing people to be people, not script readers. When a customer talks to a telemarketer reading a script from a cubicle in New Delhi or Omaha, there's no interaction. When a clerk tells the consumer, "That's all I can do, that's our policy," he's creating a negative interaction. But when a human being works with the consumer and takes independent action on her behalf, something changes. Allowing your employees to post an honest blog or to engage in direct instant messaging conversations with your customers is a way to promote honest communication. If it makes you nervous to do that, maybe you need to worry about authenticity a little more. Sometimes the interactions are nasty or rushed or even selfish, but when they're genuine, they have an impact. Before I tell someone a story, I tell that story to myself. The goal of every marketer is to create a purple cow, a product or experience so remarkable that people feel compelled to talk about it. Remarkable goods and services help ideas spread, not hype-filled advertising. The challenge lies in figuring out what's remarkable and actually making the remarkable happen. I believe the best way to do that is to craft a story that someone enjoys telling to himself. Before we are able to share a story with friends, colleagues, or the internet, we tell it to ourselves. Politicians call these talking points. Retailers call it an experience. If you can build your entire organization around delivering a particular story, you've dramatically increased the chances that this story will actually get told. Every picture tells a story. If you're authentic, then all the details will line up. Your menu will match your food, which will seamlessly integrate with your staff and your decor. If you commit to a story and live that story, the contradictions will disappear. If you want to send a message of friendly service, it helps to hire friendly people. If great design is at the heart of the story you're telling, you need a designer to run things and a designer to be your accountant as well. I'm not letting you off the hook by encouraging you to tell stories. In fact, stories only magnify the need to have something remarkable and honest to say. Humans are too smart to be fooled by a Potemkin village, a facade that pretends to be one thing and turns out to be another. Sure, you can fool some people once or twice, but this is the key lesson of the new marketing. Once fooled, a person will never repeat your story to someone else. If you are not authentic, you will get the benefit of just one sale, not 100. The cost of your deception is just too high. Every car tells a story. Aston Martin has the hot new $150,000 car of the moment. The New York Times gave it a 12 on a scale of 1 to 10. You can also buy exotic cars from Jaguar, Volvo, and Range Rover. And every one of them is made by Ford. And you shouldn't be surprised to discover that they even share some parts. Why doesn't everyone just drive a used Honda? If the purpose of a car is to get a driver reliably from point A to point B, then the overpriced and hardly reliable Jaguar is not necessarily a rational choice, is it? If a car is the single most expensive discretionary purchase most people make, and a car is the product that consumes the most resources and interacts with the largest number of innocent bystanders, you'd think that people would choose a car fairly carefully. In fact, almost every car that's bought is bought because of a story. The best stories, though, are the authentic ones. The Lotus Elise has a long waiting list because in addition to looking cool, the car has a racing heritage and a corporate point of view that matches the story. The buyer doesn't have to worry about finding the Lotus brand name on cheap luggage at Costco. The Toyota Prius tells a very different story. People choose this car in order to show the world how smart they are, even if they're not that smart. Toyota doesn't just offer a car with great 50 miles per gallon gas mileage. The Prius engineers told a much more authentic story. They went further than they had to. Even the keys are smart. When you approach the Prius, don't take the keys out of your pocket. The car knows you've got them and will unlock itself as soon as you touch the door handle. Get in and press the start button and drive away. That's it. Drivers get just as much joy out of the key system as they do from the mileage. And anyone who experiences the car at a friend's house or the dealership is told the smart car story in a way that seems far more authentic than gimmicky. First, Toyota chose to tell a story. Then the engineers built that story into the car. The authenticity of the Soy Luck Club. My number one hangout in New York is a hard-to-find little coffee shop run by Vivian Chang. The Soy Luck Club has fast, free internet access, organic oatmeal cookies, soy shakes, and really good tea. They've got comfortable chairs, a great staff, and just the right sort of atmosphere. Most people on the street walk right on by and don't even notice the club. A few, though, pause, take a quick look at the menu and the layout and the sort of people inside, and then walk in as if they own the place. They figured out almost instantly that this is their sort of place. The frame of Vivian's story matches their worldview, and they're sold before they even order anything. How does she do it? I know Vivian well enough to tell you that it's not an intentional gambit on her part. The luscious pressed whole wheat bagels with banana and soy butter aren't on the menu because she's trying to trick someone into thinking the place is healthy and funky. The bagels are there because Vivian likes them and is proud to serve them. The Soy Luck Club is authentic in every way because it reflects who Vivian is and what sort of place she'd like to hang out in. So how does she grow? She could try to grow by persuading people who don't care about her particular style of ambience and health foods and fluffy couches that this place is better than Starbucks. She could grow by